Sweet heaven knows, it's time for Beneath the Kotatsu, episode 27. My name is James, and with me as always is my co-host, San. So this week we wanted to go with some more manga, you know, live action shows, and we went with Kantaro the Sweet Tooth Samurai and Samurai Gourmet.
Salary Man. You got them mixed up.
What did I say?
You said Kantaro the Sweet Tooth Samurai.
Oh my god, yeah. All right. So which of these two did you like better?
I actually would have to say Kantaro, just because it actually had like a flowing storyline compared to Samurai Gourmet.
I would agree with you. Samurai Gourmet was okay. I tried a marathon it one go. It's just too, you know, calm and nothing real super exciting ever happens. Just like his life story, a reflection of, you know, his past youth, stuff like that, and the connection of him trying to you know, become a different kind of guy, I guess, because he spent so much of his time working for the same company, right? Like in the first episode, right, he is walking in the neighborhood and he's like, oh, I've never, you know, seen this place before. Every time I was working, I was just run past by it. And, you know, he's just learning to appreciate, you know, his surroundings and living his life.
Right. So, I, you know what I think it is why it's so hard to marathon Samurai Gourmet?
Why?
Because at the heart of it, Samurai Gourmet is not a food show.
Not at all. Yeah, no, the food definitely took a backseat.
Yeah, it's more about, I would say it feels like a cultural difference type of thing.
Yeah.
Or maybe, not cultural difference, but like,
generational difference?
No, like an ethics type of deal too.
Why,
like,
do you say ethics?
Ethics, like something out of the normal, like would,
like,
you
compared to us or just
like I'm trying to find like a good word to describe it, like how one would react in certain situations.
Do you think it feels that's just almost his trait, personality trait?
No. Like I'm saying, like how the show is portrayed, kind of like a, like, do you know the show Candid Camera?
Yes.
That feels like how the show is kind of being portrayed, with food kind of being, you know, setting up the situation. Yeah. So like in a lot of these scenes where, like, let's talk about episode two where he, like, where he goes to a horrible restaurant, you know, he wants to he wants to speak up about it. That's the type of situation I'm talking about, where it's very candid, like, you got served horrible food. Should you A, just eat the horrible food, pay for it and leave, or should you actually stand up and, you know, say something about it, you know, other than just, you know, putting your head down? So that's
basically a thing about being a timid person, you know, versus a confrontational person, right?
Right.
And maybe it's because of his background. I know a lot of people, like in my personal life, that would probably be just pay the bill and leave. And also I know a lot of other people that would do the opposite. They would raise hell and ask to speak to the manager with their best bob haircut from the salon.
have you ever done that before though?
I've been in a situation like that where I was dining out with a friend for sushi and they gave him the completely wrong order and he just was going to eat it, right?
Yeah.
But I was like, man, you should, you know, say something, at least get a discount out of it. And, you know, he didn't want to. And I, you know, made it a thing and they gave him a little bit of a discount. So, yeah, it's just like if you don't say anything, they're just going to, you know, get away with it type of thing.
Well, it's that they don't even know. Like, you know, if you didn't even say anything, they wouldn't even know that you did something wrong. But I feel like in Japanese culture, it goes both ways, right? Because if you do speak up, you know, they're more than willing to change your order or, you know, do the right thing. Exactly. But the thing is that Japanese people are so timid, they kind of don't want to say, you know, because of the culture. Of the culture that you don't want to embarrass, you know, the chef or the waiter or something like that.
Right.
That you got served.
Well, he was the only person in the restaurant. And the situation I was talking about, we were the only two people in the whole place and they somehow gave us the wrong order. But
well,
I mean, in a restaurant, it's hard to manage, you know?
Yeah.
and I don't know. It's just like, I feel like I do the same things as the main character of Samurai Gourmet, where I wouldn't want to, because it's a hassle, you know, to interfere in something or to like cause a problem. Right. Just, sometimes it's just easier to just, oh, like, whatever. Okay, I'm just going to eat the food and, you know, go about my day. It sucks that, you know, the place left a sour taste in my mouth, but that's, you know, that's life. Not every
At least they're trying to make it right, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Not that place. She just freaking smoked a cigarette and watched TV and, like, it was tapping her foot aggressively. That was hilarious. That was probably
He just went home, right? He just went home, right?
He didn't even eat it.
I think that's the arc of the story too, is that he gets more confident as the episodes go by, because in the earlier episodes, you know, like he sees the samurai, he's like, oh, I should do this, I should do that, but he doesn't really do anything. Midway through, he kind of musters up that energy to kind of do something, but usually the system gets, or the problem gets resolved
without him interfering.
Yeah, and then at the end, he actually does, you know, take a step, like.
Not always, but he
actually puts a foot forward, you know, to like
change, to be a more assertive person.
Not assertive, but more, like especially with that episode with the foreign people.
That was such a great episode too. Such a jerk to them. Oh my god!
I get one thing, that it's your restaurant and you want to, you know, serve your food the way you make it. But like, in the other hand, they're customers. They can eat the food however they want to eat the food. Right. You know, who's getting mad that they're putting it on like extra pepper, extra sauce or whatever?
Especially for a restaurant like that, it didn't look like it was the highest dining. Like, I understand in fine dining, if you... chefs get bad, right, when you put ketchup on their steak or whatever before trying it.
Right.
But if it's like a rinky-dink restaurant, I feel like, you know, let them do whatever they want, especially if you have the condiments on the table.
Exactly. Like, come on. Exactly. If it's already there, just... And I don't get the point of, like, just straight up going to them and shouting at them. Like, that's not going to solve anything.
Oh, yeah, that was super fucked up. Like, I try to imagine myself being in the feet of the foreigners, man, that would feel super bad and awkward. Everybody's watching you.
Dude, that acting was awkward.
Yeah, I mean, they're foreigners, right?
No, but like the guy was yelling at him, and then they were just looking at each other, smiling, and kept on eating. I'm like, okay.
I mean, when someone's screaming at you aggressively like that, you should get a hint of what's going on, but maybe they were just interns, or something like that.
It's what the show was. They probably just hired him for the one day thing.
Probably extras.
Yeah. Actually, I have a story of that.
What was that?
Not regarding like shouting, but regarding a wrong order, because this was pretty hilarious. Because this is like the wrong order I could have ever gotten, right?
Yeah.
So when I was on my trip to Vietnam, I was at the mall and I wanted something to drink, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I could easily like just, you know, I could easily just call my order, like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. I'm like, that's pretty easy to understand, right? Especially if you go to like a country where they don't understand English, you can still kind of point at stuff, right? So I walk into this like boba shop type looking place, and I'm looking at the menu, and it has like a Vietnamese menu at the top and an English menu at the bottom, right? So I'm like, oh, okay, so they should at least understand a little bit of English,
right?
So I'm with a friend, and we're talking English, right? Girl on the front counter freaks out because I guess she doesn't understand English, right? So she runs in the back, I guess, calls her like manager, or calls another worker that somewhat understands English, right?
Right.
So I go to the counter, right, and I'm looking at, and like, you know how they have like those promotional posters, like right when you walk in, kind of like what their promotional drinks is?
Yeah, of course. They always have that.
Yeah, I walk in and I'm like, oh, look, a passion fruit drink. I want to try that. So I go up to the guy, right? And I'm like, can I get the passion, dark boba. It was like dark syrup. Dark syrup, passion fruit type drink. Okay. I think that's what it was called, right? And I ordered that, right? And the guy goes back to me, dark. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, dark. And he looks at his coworker and he smiles like, see, that wasn't so hard. A minute later, I get my order. It was a dark coffee.
Did you even tell the number? Passion fruit?
I said dark syrup passion. That's what it said on the sign, right? Like, oh, it had the English text at the bottom. That's exactly what it is. So I just read it back to him. Dark syrup passion fruit. And he just repeated back to me, dark. So I got my drink. I'm like, this isn't passion fruit. This is coffee. And it wasn't bad. It tasted like coffee. And yeah. Then my, it was my cousin I was with, or not my cousin, cousin's girlfriend or whatever.
Right.
And she was like, are you going to say anything? And I'm like, you know what? It tastes good. And I don't want to make them feel bad. You know, because I'm at a foreign place, you know, I just drank it. I really could have used the coffee at that point anyways, because I was super tired. Oh, we were in the mall, and honestly, these drinks are so cheap. They're like 30 cents.
Yeah, it's nothing. 30, yeah. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, they're like nothing. So I'm just drinking. I'm like, you know, if I want a passion fruit, I'll just go down. I can come back, or I can go to a different place. But I'm like, yeah, you know what? At least they tried. Whatever.
At least they tried. But like, why have the sign up if you don't have people? Maybe it's a thing where people in Japan, they all speak English, but it's like a different form of English.
Right.
Where you have to say like the katakana version of the words.
Oh, like instead of beer, biru?
Yeah, or kohi instead of coffee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think the thing that made it so memorable to me was how smug he was to his coworker.
You didn't want to ruin that for him?
No, I was like, I'll let him have it.
Yeah, I would too. That's hilarious. I mean, I'd get another drink too. Say, oh, can I have that as well? But just because I'd want it. Because coffee dehydrates you.
Well, like the thing was, is that we were actually eating like hot pot or Korean barbecue. I forgot what we were eating. Mm-hmm. And the drink places were like right next to us. Like, oh, you was like, instead of just grabbing a drink, because I was already drinking like beer or something, right? And I'm like, yeah. Oh, you know, maybe we'll try a drink, you know, next door. So that's why we went next door. And then we came back. And then when we were coming back, I was still talking. I haven't drank anything yet, because, you know, it's the type of drink where you put the straw through the drink, right?
Plastic, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't notice till we actually got back, sat back down, and then I put it through the drink. I was like, oh, wait, this is passion fruit, it's coffee.
Yeah, they really shouldn't have an English menu. I mean, I guess they want to, you know, the business of tourists to be friendly, and, you know, that's appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, on my part, I probably should have pointed and made it more clear, but
yeah,
but whatever.
You didn't even say the number, though?
I mean, I would have expected it to, like, I don't think it was even like a number drink, because I guess it was like a specialty.
Ah, I see.
Special, like, summertime drink or something like that. You know, it's the one with the billboard outside where it's like, oh, try this drink now. You know, it's our special drink. But yeah, I don't know. Just a quick story. I just wanted to bring up just because it reminded me of that so much.
Yeah. Like, what I liked about Samurai Gourmet 2 is that even though, you know, all these food shows that we've been watching before, all the food looks pretty great. Yeah. And in this show, they made it like they weren't scared of showing sketchy looking food, especially with episode 2. But like in other episodes where it was the, remember the umbrella bar place? The place where
it's yeah. That was awesome, dude.
I know. I mean,
dude. You're talking about the umbrella bar, right? That was actually like it. I was actually going to ask you what was the one food you wanted to try the most in Samurai Gourmet.
That was yours?
Mine was actually the one from the bar, the stir-fried tofu.
Right?
It's basically just a giant chunk of tofu that's been stewed. Stewed tofu.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
That looked sketchy to me. I was like, I don't know, man.
It looked so good to me. It was basically stewed tofu with a bunch of, like, it's basically bar food.
It looked like petrol food. The only thing is, the pot it was in looks, you know, when I cook at home, when my dad used to cook at home, he had these pots and pans that, you know, pure steel that had those, you know, signs of, you know, frequent use.
Like the little black, age. The blackish thing like on the side.
Home-cooked food, delicious.
Yeah.
But combining that with, you know, a building that has low maintenance, it doesn't exactly inspire confidence in me. But at the same time, I've eaten at some sketchy Mexican food places, and I swear to God that for Mexican food, if the building isn't a sketchy, you know, condition, it tastes better than well-kept places. I don't know why. They're probably not going to pass the food inspection, but they passed the delicious test.
I'm sure there's a bunch of, like, OSHA compliance issues going on at, like, you know, like at really sketchy places, but the food always tastes good. Like, it's probably because they're like, oh, you know, there's probably like a food safety thing where it's like, you got to use or you got to change out your oil. It's like, no, the oil is what holds the flavor, you know, at basically well, restaurants. Kind of
does sometimes. When you see the oil at the top, you know it's going to be delicious, but unhealthy.
If it's not dripping oil, it won't be too good, right?
Yeah, it has to clog the arteries for it to be good. But, I mean, that's kind of countered with episode 2, right? Sketchy looking place, bad food, but that place was primarily a bar and they just wanted, you know, day money from just people wanting to eat random food.
But keep in mind, he also put himself into that situation too, because he knew, like, the signage was all there that place was bad. There's no one inside, there's no lines. You know, he basically just wanted to save himself from, you know, having to stand in line. And what he said about that was like, oh, why do Japanese people like to stand in line so much? I'm like, oh, that's so true. I hate standing in line. I don't, like, don't honestly. Like
European people queue up a lot? That's like the meme, right? European people queue up all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see that too. Like, I don't know if I could stand for, I don't know if I could stand in line for more than, like, maybe 15 minutes at most in a line for food, because
these days it's gonna be longer than that, especially with fast food.
It's because when I go to like a restaurant, you know, and they cook the food, it usually takes about 15 minutes for them to cook the food, right? So usually when you're waiting in line in a fast food place, you know, the food comes out immediately, so I don't mind waiting for, you know, at most 15 minutes, but like 30 minutes plus and stuff like that, I'm like, nah, I'm just gonna go find someplace else, you know. Because it's at that point, it's not really worth waiting in line. Like, didn't you wait like for some ungodly hour to get that chicken sandwich?
Oh my God! Don't remind me. Oh Jesus Christ! Yeah. So this was just an issue of them not being prepared to like have somebody, like, usually when you go to Chick-fil-A or something like that, they have cones directing traffic where to go. Yeah. This place is like, just wrap around the building. And they did that for two lines of people. I couldn't get out. Nobody wanted to let me out. Obviously, you know, me not wanting to, be aggressive and try to get out. I just stayed in line for like 3 fucking hours. The sandwich was good. I mean, I like super salty about it. I left a bad review just to be a Karen. They gave me a $5 coupon. I never used it. And I end up going back to that same place for a chicken sandwich at a later date.
I feel oh like that's
a slave to my stomach.
I feel like that's a more your problem thing than
that's theirs. A me problem. I should have just left, but I didn't want to when I had the chance.
What was it? Because did you not want to leave because you're already like, you know, you know,
I was
like when you're
so close to the ordering.
Yeah, when you're like already invested so much time into waiting, right? You kind of don't want to leave, but at the same time, you're also trapped in the
sunk cost fallacy, right? I should have just cut my losses and left.
I mean,
that place has always been kind of slow. They're constantly looking for people. I guess people don't want to work for Popeyes. This was pre-pandemic when, you know, pay still not the greatest, but it looks like people are starting to get higher pay for fast food. I wanted to ask you about another food, specifically the one in episode 6 where he was eating pasta. That's the episode where he was trying to get the courage to tell the two guys talking super loud obnoxiously to quiet down. What did you think about the food in that episode, the pasta?
It was pasta, but it looked like they made it. It was Japanese pasta. That's pretty much what I have to say about it.
Yeah,
because it was like the way carbonara. They made it, I'm like, this ain't no way like an Italian person would make
no.
it. This is definitely like Japanese pasta.
Did you think it was trying to be upscale or not?
Wasn't there like an episode where there was like an also an upscale pasta?
Yes, but that was the episode where he was bawling out. And he's like, oh my god, this pen is so nice. And you know, this dude's chilling with his Ray-Bans and his, what type of hat was that? A Trilby? And he's like, oh my god, I gotta buy it. I can't look like a fool. This is what happens when you go into like a place with expensive stuff, especially jewelry. You're talked in by the salesperson giving you compliments. And oh, yeah? Like, oh yeah, it would look good on me, a pen, $200 pen. Then he goes to freaking, god knows how expensive that Italian restaurant one, because that one was expensive. The one he went to before, that place was cheap. Even if it was trying to, you know, cosplay as an expensive one, because I saw that plastic Parmesan bottle of cheese, one with the wood grain fillers in it. Like, come on, dude. No self-respecting pasta place would have, you know, that type of Parmesan cheese, even though it's my favorite. I like making it blizzard all over my pasta like a heathen. Bad food, but the one with the expensive Italian place, I love that episode.
The pricing actually wasn't too bad, I guess, like in terms of like high-end dining, because I think when he was talking about the menu, he was looking at it and there's one of them was like $50, and then I think he got the lower end, which was like a $30 pasta, which I guess isn't too bad if you're gonna splurge,
right?
I would say $30 isn't too bad if you're going to go out to eat for your birthday or something.
Like I'm that. Probably thinking that soup, like the whole thing was super expensive for that episode because he already spent the $200 on that on pen. And he said something about being over budget. I'm like, dude, well, you should have just said no. Like the whole show, he doesn't ever fully become, you know, he doesn't have the courage to do the stuff he imagines himself doing, I guess his samurai self.
Yeah.
But he slowly gets there and is taking the measures to become a better person, I suppose, if you could say that.
Yeah. Actually, is there like a certain episode you actually like the best out of all of them?
Probably that one, but there's a lot of nice moments. The shitty food one was the most memorable one just because of the waitress was like so good at appearing like one of those monsters you see in video games.
Oh yeah, like just giving like the worst service in the world. I've had this story about where I've had like horrible service. I was at I think it was like just a random dining place, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a Chinese place. So I was eating with a friend, and food was it was all right. It wasn't that great. They got her order wrong, and I'm like, why would you put our order? Like, I totally get it, you know? I totally get it that it's packed, right? But, and we just kind of left it off like, oh, they got our order wrong. So we called them up and asked them, you know, if they can fix our order. Took them like 15 minutes to fix the order. I'm like, oh my God.
What type of food was it?
It was Chinese food. Yeah, it was like a Chinese restaurant.
What was the dish you were supposed to get in the one that you got?
I think we're eating like maybe hot pot or something. I don't recall. It's been a while back. Okay. So we finished eating, right? And I know it's a shitty move not to tip or whatever, but we're like, nah, it's like this is like the worst service we ever had because like the person like never checked up on us, you know? And
was it busy? Super busy?
Did they just forget about you? I would say like normal busy, like not super busy, you know. So they never brought like, you know, they never came check out because we wanted to order some other stuff because food wasn't that feeling. So we had to like every time we wanted something, we had to like holler across the room, you know, like oh, you know, or wave flag someone down or whatever to get some service or something like that.
Yeah.
So we walk out of the restaurant, hang to our car. You know what happens? Waiter runs towards us, right? And he's like, oh, you guys forgot the tip. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
He forgot about serving you, but not about the tip. What an asshole.
Exactly. Oh,
Jesus God. Christ. Yeah. Like, nah. If you don't get paid anything, and, you know, you gave good service, then the customer was an asshole. But if you barely, you know, said anything to them, I wouldn't feel bad about leaving a no tip or just a bad tip. Honestly, they shouldn't. Honestly, I'm in the camp of there shouldn't even be tips. They should just pay them enough straight up. It probably won't raise the prices that much.
Or like, they'll basically just factor in the price of the food. Basically, like how Japanese do it, you know, like shouldn't even tip at all.
Pretty much everywhere else in the world, I think America's the one that mostly just tips.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they don't want to pay their people enough. It's bullshit.
I know, it's so crap. And I totally get it that some people like the tipping system because they can make more than like, the average. Yeah,
but depends on your demographic, though.
Yeah, but that's probably only like, what, the top 30% of restaurants?
Yeah.
They'll probably make more than what they're actually, you know, than off of just the basic standard pay. But it shouldn't be like that, you know, just pay them what they're owed, and then that should just be it. But if they want to tip more, I guess they could, you know, for the better wage and whatnot. But I just felt like I don't know. It was and you know the excuse he gave me was like,
what?
Oh, my manager's gonna be really mad if you know at me because I didn't get a tip. I'm like,
that's not your responsibility.
Exactly.
Yeah, like work is work, man. Like,
and I totally get it. He looked like one of those like college workers, you know, that they just randomly hired. I'm like, yeah, whatever. We gave him $5 and then we left because at the end of the day, I just didn't want to go through the hassle.
And that's not us being like, you know, richy rich people, because like we eat fast food work is, you know, honest work, but they should be paid more. But I it's just me not liking the tip system.
Yeah, I don't like the tip system at all. It's just horrible. And there's been a lot of people.
I still go out of my way and like tip my barbers and stuff like that. But
yeah, me too.
I don't know. Just the whole thing is I don't like hidden costs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I 100% like taxes like are one thing. But
when you go buy
a
car and they do those add-ons for the dealers.
God.
Yeah, that's how I feel about all that stuff.
That's why I always ask them for like a straight cost number whenever I buy a car. Just like I want like everything included in my price, you know, like tax, title fees, all that good stuff whenever I buy a car, because at the end of the day they're always gonna try to get you with something like, oh, you want this extra plan, extra security plan, or whatever, and then they always try to upsell you on some crap. It just rings a nerve with me. But going back to the show, I think my favorite episode for the show was probably episode 3, where he takes his niece out to eat.
Yeah. How did you feel about the discussion they were having?
It felt real. And the reason I liked it so much is because that's the first time that someone other than him actually sees the samurai. And then the samurai guy, like, he's like, go ahead, eat it. And every time she tries to take it, he just like takes the meat. He's like, no.
And he was a little bit angry about the food stealing. He got aggressive about it. I don't blame him.
I like the part where she's trying to grab a piece of meat and he just literally slaps her hand. No. But and then after that, he goads her. He's like, go ahead, eat it, take it. Take it, and then she slowly moves her chopstick towards it, and then once she gets close enough, he just grabs it and he eats it like in her face. But I don't know. I think I really like that episode just because
four, right? The Yakiniku way,
was it? I think it was
episode four. Three was the solo travel where he's eats mackerel omikase and natto, the flavors of his youth.
Okay, gotcha.
But I was going to ask you about the discussion they had about asking permission for the parents to become a musician. How did you feel about that?
I think maybe it's just poorly translated, because you know when you not permission, but when you go to your parents and say, I'm going to get married.
Right.
What was it called? Like, not permission, but they're
asking for permission to engage with the daughter, like get on the knee with the ring. That whole shindig. I forget the exact word for some reason.
Not permission. Blessing. I would say blessing would probably be a better word for it if I was going to translate it. Like, get your father's blessing to become a musician just to try it out, you know? That makes more sense, because she's mad at her dad, but like, she doesn't know that her dad's gone through, you know, so much work to put her through college, you know, or, you know, put her through school, and then she's mad at him because
I'm in two camps on that one.
I do understand what you're saying, because it is her life and she should
Exactly. Just do it. You're young enough to try, and if you fail, you can always come back to it and try again if you want.
Right. But the thing is,
as long as you live with, you know, being old and, oh, I could have done this and I never tried. Don't live with that regret. A good thing, I would say.
But the thing I want to say on the opposite end is, like, if you're still living with your parents and then they're still paying for you, and then you haven't, you know, gone out of your way to show any progress or something like that. I totally get it that the dad wouldn't be too supportive about, you know,
that's true,
their life. But if maybe they see progress and you tell them, like, oh, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Yeah, exactly. So I totally see it both ways. I think that's the reason why I just like the show so much, mm-hmm. or like that episode so much, is because it's a give and take. And
yeah.
And from all the other episodes, it just felt like just a one-sided thing where it's like, oh, I just need to muster up and do this and do that. And I think that was like the first time we actually see him like muster up, you know, the courage to say something or to talk, you know, to lead someone in the right direction, something like that.
So I guess if you're like living in your own apartment, you can maintain yourself. That would probably be the best way to just try it. You don't have to get their blessing, but like as you said, if you're living in their place and you're not contributing to your own stuff, you know, probably listen to what they say. As far as the last episode, I believe the mythical traveling restaurant Karuiza. How do you say it? Karuizawa. The place that he was looking for his kid that closed down, and then he randomly found it in a different place. Felt like all those animes we watch with remember the door opening to a different dimension?
Right.
And it always goes to the restaurant.
Yeah. Isekai Shoku. Oh, man.
Man, we can't even pronounce words.
I'm drawing a blank today.
I know, but that's how that episode felt like. And the added sprinkle of magic to me was when he opened the phone book and he saw his wife sitting in the booth behind him.
Not the phone book, the album. The phone book.
Oh my god, phone album. Where are my words going today? The phone book. Oh Lord, it's been a long morning.
Oh, it has been a long day, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Good memories. Like, what was there? You know, like, I thought one of my favorite like parts of the show was like them breaking the fourth wall when he became like a
yes, that was so meta. He was an extra in his own show. That was freaking hilarious.
And no, it's not even that. Like, the most meta part about it is, like, you know how like he had that guy that was like talking to him the whole time, right?
Right.
The most meta part was when he was reading the newspaper and it showed that guy was gonna get like a main role, right?
Yes.
He got a main role in that episode, so it was extra meta.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, months pass, obviously, from when he was the extra, but yeah. It would have been funny if they just ate the craft services that they were going to eat anyways, making the episode for Netflix. That's probably what they did. I don't think they had a craft services for the craft service episode. There's no way. They're like, oh, this is an easy way to make an episode. Let's just use what we're already using.
I don't know. I just thought it was meta that the guy that was helping him was one of the main characters, and then he got a main character role in the newspaper.
Yeah.
So it was like
the guy helping him was an extra, and then he got the main
role. No. He was an extra, but he was a main character in the episode.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. I see what you're saying. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, he was the main, and then he got a main character role in the newspaper, so it was a double meta.
That was a really nice episode. What about when the main character was eating croquettes and beer in front of a Power Rangers play of little kids? How'd you feel about that?
I was like, I wish I could be that chill.
I know. I mean, in America, they probably, you know, say so. I don't think so. Nah, if you're drinking a beer in a child's play, I guess if you were with your kid, it wouldn't be an issue. But if you're just there by yourself, it'd be kind of sketchy. I don't know about that.
It looked like it depends if it's like a big place. It looked like just like a small venue place
specifically just for that. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because it wasn't really like, you know, specifically. It was just a play they were putting on at a playground. So I think it was just all fun and games. All
right.
I'm surprised we haven't talked about the like we were talking about the samurai, but we never talked about the knight that showed up in the foreign episode. It was so
he didn't. I guess they made a knight for the foreigners, but it didn't really feel like a big enough deal to me. Like his involvement, he just ate the thing and left.
I wish he would have came out as like being a food critic or being something more, being someone more important. But I just thought it was just so funny. I was like, yeah. Oh, it's a knight.
Yeah.
He was like, this guy isn't a samurai. He's more refined.
Oh my God. He's a gentleman of a different extravagance.
Right.
And speaking of a gentleman of a different extravagance, let's talk about Kantaro the Sweet Tooth's salary, man.
All right.
And this show, I way, way preferred it over, Samurai Gourmet. And this is actually a rewatch for both of us. We watched it a long time ago. But honestly, I remembered a lot of these episodes. This was way more memorable than Samurai Gourmet for me.
Actually, in Samurai Gourmet, I actually remembered a lot of the episodes.
And I completely forgot them, and I saw both of these at around the same time.
Well, the thing is that after watching a little bit of the episode, it kind of comes back to you, doesn't it? Like, you kind of know for a lot of Kantar, I actually don't remember, some of the episodes.
Yeah.
I was remembering bits and pieces. That's basically what you were getting, right? Just bits and pieces that were slowly coming back
Kantaro,
to you.
For Kantaro, I pretty much remembered everything as I saw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is what happened.
I remember probably like that. Four episodes max. That, like, for me,
and I remember felt like I was rewatching it too.
Really? Yeah.
This was super memorable for me. Like, I remember a lot about it, surprisingly.
And I don't know. For this show, it was actually like a real food, like a real
food show. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, unlike Samurai Gourmet, where like food was taking a backseat, food was like the main thing for the show,
and was all dessert.
Yeah, and the best part is that it had a plot like that followed along in each episode that made you wanted to watch the next episode. I think that was why it was so easy to watch compared to Samurai Gourmet, where each episode is kind of like, you know, its own separate thing where you can just watch them apart from each other.
And you know, something else about this show is the reason why I remember it so much is that for the longest time, I just always kept on going back to Google, you know, Kantaro Sweet Tooth Salaryman Season 2, finding out if they're ever going to release one. And I just, you know, see people, you know, oh, it's finished. There's not going to be any more, which is disappointing for me because this is definitely one of the times where I wanted more because I ship Dobashi and Kantaro.
Sweet princess. And Dobashi and ships
both of them. Yeah, exactly. Especially the second episode where she fantasizes about him yelling at her and throwing her on the desk.
Was that the second? I don't think that was the second episode. I think that
might have been the third.
I feel like that's way further in. I feel like that's episode like...
It happens like twice.
Five or six or something like that. Like in the first four episodes.
Oh, no, it was episode four. You're right. Yeah. It's episode four.
Yeah, because in the first couple of episodes, she was just basically like eyeing him the whole time. Like, what is he doing? Why is he so mysterious and cool?
Yeah, episode two was when we find out that Kantaro's not having an inner monologue. He's actually doing all this weird shit out loud. Like, complete disregard for everybody around him. Like, remember when he was in episode two at Korea Peace eating that, the salted stuff?
Yeah.
What was it? Kakigori? And he stares at this lady's part like kakigori super close with his glasses, and she just looks at him with like, what are you doing?
I mean the thing is that like they're living in this alternate universes where you have reaction to food and no one really cares about it.
Yeah,
because
well, they kind of do care about it because later in the show there's a scene where he's eating, I think it was an actual parfait this time. Mm-hmm. And he's like having these hella weird reactions, and there's these girls just looking at him and whispering to each other and kind of giggling.
Yeah
but, so I mean, they definitely know what's going on. They're just being polite, I guess.
But I mean, do you remember the episode where the manager takes the Dobashi out to eat or whatever?
Yeah,
and they have that, I don't remember what they have, But they both have the reaction, right? And then the manager...
he just stays there for until they close.
Several hours.
Yeah.
And then he breaks out of it, and then he just catches, like, oh, how much was it? And she's like, oh, it's already paid for. And they just walks out like normal, like nothing happened.
Yeah. How would you describe Kantaro just as a character?
If I would have to relate him to someone, it'd probably be like what's that main character from Mob Psycho?
Mob?
Yeah, it's basically it's just him, like whenever he's working, he's just like relaxed, chill, whatever. But yeah. when he goes into that state where he talks about sweets and he wants to eat sweets, he goes mad crazy. Like, he has to have sweets all the time. especially the episode where his mother visits, and I love that.
Oh my god, that was so taboo.
That was so, dude, some of these episodes are so weird.
I know.
Like, going back to, like, you try to search it for season two, right? I heard in Japan this anime wasn't too popular, to the point that it felt like more of an occult type show.
I understand that.
Yeah, and I'm like, really? This is a great show. Why isn't more people, like, watching it? I totally get that it's totally weird, but it has a great story, and the director did a great job, and they did a great job with, like,
the animation. Everybody knocked it out of the park.
Everything was good in this show. I don't know why anyone would really hate it, you know? But
I think it's because it was a little bit too R+18, and this is just because I heard you say what you thought about Kantaro, but for me, he was like a perverted, like a sexual sweets predator type mixed with Clark Kent. Because remember when he was doing that episode about wearing the thermal gear under his suit?
Yeah.
Because he has to sweat, like, I guess he has to wear like a chastity belt to enjoy the sweet. He needs punishment before pleasure.
Because he's going to eat ice cream or something.
Yeah, but remember when he, like, takes off his shirt and reveals to the camera he's wearing a thermal gear under, and he, like,
yeah,
gently caresses it, like, in a perverted, sadistic way. And then he zips it back up. That's, like, how Clark Kent, like, takes off his glasses and turns into Superman.
You know what the most uncomfortable... like, scene was for me?
Are you talking about the little kid, right?
Yeah, the little kid.
Oh, like, my god, that was such a sexual molester energy.
Dude, the part where he has, like, an inner monologue and the kid just looking at him the whole time, and he's just, like, they're laughing. I'm like, bro, this is so creepy.
Yeah.
I wish the director was like, I don't know. But the thing is that it's Kantaro, so maybe, like, it has that same feel.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
the Hagi episode. This is just a secret between you and us. He's gonna become me in the future. That's where I got the bad vibe from it, because, like, you know, in life where a child gets abused,
yeah,
and when they grow up, it's likely that they're gonna continue the cycle of abuse. That's what they say. I don't know if that's actually true, but that's the energy I got from it. I was like, man, this is a little bit too heavy for me, man.
I mean, that's how he grew up, is because his mom was a dentist.
Yes, exactly. And he always had to do it in hiding because it was a taboo, naughty thing.
Yeah. Dude, that episode was so weird.
I know. And the one with the mom, too, was great because the mom was like a predator or a Terminator type creature looking for all the sweets. Oh, my God.
Dude, the part where it's like... I need that sweet, and he pulls out that, like,
the chapstick,
the lip gloss, and then he puts it on his lips, and he licks it all weird.
Oh my god, that's probably why I didn't get a second season, because it was too yabai, as they say, right?
I feel like that's the reason why it should have gotten a second season, because it doesn't follow the normal for a show.
I bet if this was an anime, you'd get another season.
I think it should have gotten an anime, because...
Yeah, it should have, because, you know, it's also coming from a manga.
Yeah, it comes from a manga. It should have definitely gotten an anime, but probably not one from Netflix, because, God, we've seen how that went with... What was it?
They're also making a Gundam live action. I hope it's not bad. I don't think they have the CGI budget to make really good looking mechs.
I mean, the CGI for Kantaro was way off the roof how good it was.
It was so good, yeah.
It holds up. Great tracking, great facial tracking, and because they had to replace everyone's head with, like, food.
Yeah.
like, it was on the level of,
Bleach?
What was that? The cooking show? Shokugeki no Soma? Whenever they have the reaction, they always go into, like, a third dimension where stuff just goes all the place. That's how I think of Kantar, where they just go into, like, a weird third dimension where stuff just happens. Like, do you remember the episode with the chocolate, and after he eats the chocolate or whatever,
one with the manga artist for Akiko 5 or whatever?
No, I think it was maybe the one with the kid. What were they eating? Hago or whatever?
Ohagi.
And after he eats it, he's laying on the floor, mm-hmm. and then these people with like ohagi heads come in. It's like, do you want half death or full death? And I'm
your favorite one, right? That was your favorite one?
No, I don't know. Like, I just thought it was really funny because he was like, I'm young. I only want half death. And then they said, like, a ohagi meteor at him.
You know which one I really liked a lot?
Which one?
The one in episode 6. Remember the one with the, I guess, flamboyant manga author and his wife, Maria?
Yeah.
And she had that super thick Gaijin accent that we always hear. I love that accent so much, by the way. When they all have different heads. What was the food that they were eating? The matcha Bavarian cream?
Oh, yeah.
I used that screenshot of their faces as the foods for such a long time on my computer. I wish I could get it in 4K. That was such a good scene.
I really like that too, because the whole theme around that episode was like the marriage between like European and Japanese sweets.
Yeah.
And
that's why they had Maria be his wife. That makes sense. I didn't catch that until you said that.
Really? I'm so surprised. Yeah, because that's pretty much the whole thing. And I love the ending of that episode where it's like, I've come up with a new manga idea. The salary man that likes to eat sweets.
That's kind of an asshole move. That's like, no, we can't show this. Like, because he's like blocking his work from becoming popular. Like, don't do that. Come on, man.
I think the reason why he said he did like it was, I'm a horse. That's unrealistic.
That's the excuse he used. He just didn't want to get outed for playing hooky to eat sweets.
Dude.
Because the likeliness was pretty much all in the face.
Do you remember that like you triggered my trap card moment where with his like coworker that likes to exercise a lot?
Yeah. Oh like, yeah. He was blackmailing the blackmailer. Oh my god.
Yeah, basically he goes out to eat like I think it was like a ice cream or something. Right. And the reason why his coworker was so mad at him is because his coworker was like salesman of the month for 11 month.
Yep.
And one more month, he would have gotten a whole year. But Kantaro comes in as the new hire, beats him this month, and then ruins his streak. He gets mad at Kantaro. He follows Kantaro and then sees that, instead of doing his work, he's actually going out to eat sweets. And then he's taking, and then when Kantaro's in his, like, third dimension, like, reacting to the sweet, he goes and sits right in front of him and takes photos of him, like, reacting. And the photo's pretty hilarious. And then Kantaro's like, oh, you thought you were walking in my footsteps? I was actually walking in your footsteps, because then he pulls out a reverse trap card. He's like, and then shows him like photos and videos of him like working, like going to like a yoga gym or whatever during work. And he's like, okay, we'll just agree to disagree, then we'll just delete each other's photos.
That was like the perfect nemesis for him, because he was an exercise maniac.
Yeah.
Compared to sweets loving maniac. That's hilarious.
It was so, I felt like, did you feel like the character was a bit young or looked a bit young?
Takebe? Yeah, I think so. Takarabe, sorry. That's his name.
I just felt like, did they just hire like a 16-year-old or something? That's what it felt like to me. But
nah, it's just, you know, that's how they look like over there. Young.
Yeah, I guess he's just very looks very 50. Youthful. Yeah, it may, like, he also exercises a lot, so that's probably why maybe he looks 20s, so youthful.
Late 20s, I could see.
Yeah, because contrary, he looks like, what, late 30s, right?
Mid, maybe 33.
Yeah.
He has a Rolex on his watch, so he's been working for a while. That man has money, especially to have a fridge with a... What type of device was that?
The dry ice.
Yeah, the dry ice compartment in his desk. That looked like the thing that they kept the relic in Cyberpunk.
Oh, like his coffee yeah. desk, coffee cup desk, whatever.
That's what it reminded me. I thought about Cyberpunk when I saw the desk with the dry ice clouds in it.
It's like, I was hiding the sweets right in front of you the whole time, mother.
He ate it right in front of her face.
Oh, dude, and it was so weird. Every time we go back to that episode, it just feels so weird. Did you like the interaction between his coworker that was trying to track him down the whole time?
Dobashi, yeah, dude, yeah. I ship him. That's why I wanted season two. I mean, at the end, they do. Yeah, at the end, you know, they do find out, and she asks him straight up.
Do they? No. They don't. She asks him straight up.
Yeah, but he
deflects. He says, he's like,
just go back to work.
No, it's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then just goes back to work. What outed him out? Oh,
I feel like just bringing the chestnuts. The chestnuts, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, did you bring these chestnuts because of a certain comment from a certain sweet princess? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's like not said, but understood.
Yeah.
She knows it's him.
You know what? I also like the transition of the manager, because like at the beginning, like we see him as like a hard ass or whatever, but
yeah,
he mellows out near the end, like especially where he's trying to like take Kantaro.
Why did he struggle? He's like a big little kid, dude. I love it. I love that guy. That dude's such an accomplished actor. If you go to his IMDb page, he's like the only one out of all of them that I can find a full picture of, in. You know, he has a straight, legit profile on, like, IMDb and stuff like that. The rest don't have it.
Oh, really? I guess
because they're mostly in Japan. Yeah. So the manager's the most known actor out of all of them.
Well, he was a great actor. Like, either way, just because, I don't know, I just like the... How his character just develops, like, because at the beginning he's like, oh, I'm gonna rip this guy a new one. And at the end he's like, Kantaro, you gotta go with me to all these bars and you gotta...
Yeah. He was like that perverted old guy in Rainbow, but like not molesting people. That's the same type of energy I got in how he spoke.
I like molesting, the part
but like playfully.
Yeah, I like the part where like when Kato tries to decline, he has like a full on tantrum and like stomping his feet up and down and jumping up and down like a kid.
Yeah, it was so good. Man, you know that guy was also in the live action for Bakuman and Death Note?
I wouldn't know. There's a Bakuman live action?
Apparently. I looked up his profile because I wanted to know more about him. He was that good of a character. His name's Sefutoki Minagawa. That's his name.
I didn't even know. We should definitely watch
Bakuman live action. Yeah, I want to. I was going to bring it up to you.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would definitely watch. Okay, so with Kantaro, was there like a specific food you wanted to try?
Oh my god, they make everything look good.
I know.
Probably the matcha thing on episode 6.
Which one was that specifically?
Bavarian cream.
Oh, Bavarian cream.
Yeah, the matcha European, Bavarian cream.
I really wanted to try the
Mamekan.
The chocolate, what do you call it? Like the series of chocolate dishes. He had that like the super crazy chocolate store where it started with like the fruit drink. And then they went to like they had like different types of chocolate along the way. And then at the end they had like a chocolate pie or something.
These are all real places that you could still go to, right? Assuming they haven't closed down.
Assuming the country reopens.
Yeah. I think they're all legit places, right?
It looks like it, like especially the ones where where they, I think they were, because some of them even had like, what do you call it? Like scannable, what are those little scannable square things called?
QR codes.
Yeah, QR codes. Like some of the boxes had QR codes in them.
I wonder if I could scan it on Netflix. Probably not.
I mean, you get high resolution 4K edition or something like that. You probably could, but usually if it was fake, they wouldn't add that, right? They'd probably just take that off, or not even take it off, like they wouldn't even include it in the prop or something like that.
We should try. I'm gonna try it and see if I can find out if any of them still work, if they ever did. Maybe it was like a bonus thing.
You know what? You could probably look up, like, if you go to the website and just look up a list of like filming locations for Contour. Mm-hmm. There's probably already a pre-made list that you can actually go down and they'll probably give you the address of all the places you could visit. I would actually love to visit all of those. Like the whole, like,
Korea, I don't even know what look really good. The one with the shaved ice. I really want that.
I've actually had that before. It's all right. I'm not big on, like, it's basically like an upscale snow cone.
Yeah. I mean, I had that in other countries, but not that they don't look like that. Obviously it's just in a paper cup with some syrup on it, not with all those special premium toppings.
There's actually a place in Houston that does that. Have you ever been to News? I'm gonna
have to take it out.
News in Houston? No. It's basically the same thing as that. You just get a giant bowl of ice, and then they put like a lot of like syrup, and then they put real fruit, and then they put like I wouldn't say it's as premium as the one you see in the show, because they're using like real melons and stuff like that. Like of course the one I'm talking about in Houston, they use real fruit too, but it's like, it feels generic, like just. You know, when you walk into like a fruit dessert place, you know, and you can always get that generic type of food. Yeah. So I totally get your meaning that you want to try that at least once, but I feel like it's just going to taste the same. It's basically ice with flavoring and syrup on top.
Another thing that I wanted to ask you about was, I noticed in the chocolate episode, the author for the manga, they have like a fake author. He's basically a bootleg of the author for Akira. They just changed the letters by like two. So they had Katsuhiro Shotomo, I believe, was the incorrect one. And Katsuhiro Otomo is the real author. I wonder if the other author, the flamboyant one married to Maria, is another bootleg author. It was just probably a random character.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that was like the legit author of the...
That's what I was... I probably didn't, you know, I should have
looked it up before. The actor. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was wondering about that.
Yeah, because I wouldn't put them past that the author wanted to be in the show, and then they just kind of put him in the show as a character. Could have even put him in the show as like a background character as well. I could see that. It's the type of show that they could easily do that. Easily, I'm honestly, it's how many years has it been? Like almost 4 or 5 years since the original airing of the show from Netflix.
Definitely.
So we've seen plenty of times where they reboot shows, like stuff like this. That I could definitely see, like, just take a look at Midnight Diner. You know, like I think the original airing for it was like what, 2008, 2009, or something like that, right?
Yeah, there's a big gap between the shows.
Yeah, so I could totally see Kantaro getting like a second season, but
down the line.
Yeah, I wish it would have gotten more popularity, because I've, like, just from looking up the show online, like, I don't see a lot of people talking about it. It's like maybe
I couldn't find much about it. It doesn't have a tremendous following that I looked.
Yeah, it's a random comment here, random comment there, but nothing, no big crowds. Like, if you really want to look up into like a show, like about the show, you have to dig pretty deep. Like, that's why I'm saying it has like an occult following, but you won't.
Yeah.
You don't get anything crazy, and I feel so ashamed that it's not getting so, you know, it's not as popular as it should be, because this is such a great show. It's
such a high end production, fantastic production. Oh my god, what would you rate both of these shows?
Samurai Gourmet, I'd give it maybe 7. Uh-huh. Kantaro, I'd probably give it an 8, maybe an 8.5.
That's about what I was going to give it. Probably for Samurai Gourmet, like a 6.7 out of 10 for me.
6.7.
7 is fine. 7 is, I might as well round up.
Yeah.
I was just trying to be nitpicky.
I mean, 7 out of 10, talked about it for 10. We talked about it for a good while. It was hard to watch, but it had good memorable moments to talk about.
Very relatable.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. Kentaro is just goofy and exaggerated. That's why it's a lot easier for me to marathon it, because there's more to laugh at and talk about.
Yeah, it's hard to compare these two shows because they're not
opposite sides of the coin once again.
Yeah, and they're like Samurai Gourmet's not even a food. Like there's food in it, but no. Actually, not the main thing's not about food.
The food is a vehicle for his,
ambitions.
Start of the transformation to become more
exactly
assertive, I suppose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we pretty much said what we needed to about these two shows. Any final thoughts, James?
I just wanted to say, sweet heaven knows this is the end of the episode.
All right. We will catch you guys later. Bye.